Welcome to A Beggar Who Found Bread. I'm your host, Brad, and I'm a simple beggar. I desire to reveal to others where I found bread, the bread of life, the Messiah, Yeshua of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ, so that they may experience a renewal of life. This episode, Live Again. Credit Seven Dust with the title to this episode. New metal virtuosos Seven Dust out of Atlanta, Georgia, getting their start in 1994 under the name Rumblefish. Yeah, you might recognize that, an S.E. Hinton novel. They changed their name to Crawlspace later that year. And not content with that moniker, the band was inspired by a pesticide commercial for 7, S-E-V-I-N, dust. Yeah, chemical that kills pests. So, inspired by that, a little alteration to the spelling, thus avoiding copyright issues, and 7 Dust was born. They are a versatile band encompassing all things new metal. Vocalist LeJohn Witherspoon has a real smooth delivery. It's somewhat reminiscent of Corey Glover from Living Color. And I honestly feel like Living Color were actually on the forefront of the new metal movement. I don't think they get credit for that, though, because nu metal is defined as traditional rock or metal with influences from R&B, hip-hop, industrial, and pop. And that kind of describes Living Color to a T. At any rate, it is not about the music, the nu metal, or the old metal. It's about the message, live again. Greetings and shalom. It has been a bit since the last episode, and I'm excited to get back and dig into the word of Adonai and its application to our lives. In my studies, I've come across an interesting and amazing revelation from the scriptures. As I share, I certainly encourage you to study to show yourself approved of God. And this new, interesting, and amazing revelation is that. It's a new one on top of so many others. Infinite amounts of revelation from the living word of the Most High, El Elyon. So please, don't simply take my word for it. As I said, study to show yourself approved of God. Today, we'll explore life and death as revealed from the Holy Text. So let's start with Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 through 20. I call on heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have presented you with life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life so that you will live, you and your descendants, loving Adonai your God, paying attention to what he says, and clinging to him. For that is the purpose of your life. On this depends the length of time you will live in the land Adonai swore he would give to you, give to your ancestors, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Hashem places before his people both life and death. We have the choice presented to us. Will we choose life, which is to love Adonai Elohim, the Lord our God, to adhere to his word, his way, his law, and commandments, which he says is the purpose for our life? Or will we refuse and deny his way, which is spelling out for us, which is spelled out for us in his Torah? Will we deny that and refuse it, thus choosing death? There's something noteworthy in examining an accurate understanding of life and death, which begins with the original language to define these words. The Hebrew word for death is mavet, M-A-V-E-T. The Hebrew word, which we translate as life, is chayim, C-H-A-Y-I-M. Chaim. Mavet. Chaim. Mavet is a singular word, death. However, Chaim ends with I-M. This denotes plural meaning. So it's got a plural definition to it, Chaim. So it means lives, or lives, if you will. So Hashem has presented us with lives, plural, or death, singular. There's a concept within the Hebrew understanding that there are times when the plural is used to describe a singular, and not because there are multiples necessarily, but that the singular application does not capture the full meaning of the word. For example, there are times when the word mercy is used, the mercy of Hashem, and it is written about. His mercy endures forever. His mercies are made new every day. And so the plural is used not because Adonai has different mercies per se, but that his mercy goes so far beyond human understanding, and the singular cannot fully encapsulate all that is contained in his mercy. Amen? Amen. Similarly, with the use of the word Elohim, which is sometimes translated as the singular God and other times plural gods. The understanding being that he, Adonai Elohim, is so far above and beyond all other gods of this world, the plural is used for the singular, Adonai Elohim, Adonai Echad. Adonai is one, singular. But the plural is used because he is far above our capacity to comprehend his fullness. And he is so far above what others might refer to as a god in this world. So how does this impact or change our faith and understanding of living according to faith in Hashem through the Messiah Yeshua? Perhaps it changes nothing for you. All I ask is that you remain open-minded and receptive to at least consider these matters that I'll present to you. As for me, this understanding has deepened my appreciation for all that Hashem has done, and it has altered even the way I look at my daily life, or Chaim, lives. It has changed how I live, how I pray, how I conduct myself, just gaining a different perspective on this, the understanding of life and death. So at one point, the Master stated that he came that we may have life, Chaim, and have it, or them, if you will, if we're going plural, but that he came that we might have life, Chaim, and have it to the full, or have Chaim abundantly. So first, I believe in the use of the plural anywhere in Scripture that reflects life in this present world and life in the world which is to come, Olam Haba. So we see the plurality there, speaking of life in this present world and life in Olam Haba, the world which is to come. Life with Hashem is all-encompassing. It's not just for the sweet by and by. That's not what it's, what's referred to when the word life is used. And it is not only for the here and now. It is not one or the other, but both and. Anywhere we read Hashem telling us this or that will bring life, it is plural, Chaim. It will bring Chaim, covering this temporary life as it is the way we should live in the here and now to enhance our present existence in this world, and it is how we will live in the coming kingdom. As I've said before, this present world, though it is very real, it is the dress rehearsal for Olam Haba, the world which is to come. How he has directed us to live and called us to live is the way we are to live in the coming kingdom. And so what we do here and now, we are practicing for what is to come, kingdom living. So we can see the application of the plural use of the word, life, hayim, plural. This present world, and it applies also in the world which is to come. So the use of the plural, I believe, actually goes even farther, speaking to our daily lives, beyond the dual purpose of life here and now and life in the coming kingdom. So we explored some of this in the episode titled Today, which I encourage you, give yourself time to give it a listen. But I'm going to read the words of the Master Yeshua as recorded in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves wealth here on earth, where moths and rust destroy, and burglars break in and steal. Instead, store up for yourselves wealth in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and burglars do not break in or steal. For where your wealth is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if you have a good eye, that is, if you are generous, your whole body will be full of light. But if you have an evil eye, if you are stingy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can be slave to two masters, for he will either hate the first and love the second, or scorn the second and be loyal to the first. You can't be a slave to both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds flying about. They neither plant nor harvest, nor do they gather food into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they are? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to his life? And why be anxious about clothing? Think about the fields of wild irises and how they grow. They neither work nor spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Shlomo in all his glory was clothed as beautifully as one of these. If this is how God clothes grass in the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, thrown in an oven, won't he much more clothe you? What little trust you have. So don't be anxious asking, what will we eat? What will we drink? Or how will we be clothed? For it is the pagans who set their hearts on all these things. Your heavenly Father knows you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Today has enough suris already. This is a well-known passage about trusting Hashem for today. And we know that none of us are, well, we should know, none of us are promised tomorrow. So we should not spend time and energy worrying and future tripping over what may or may not be tomorrow. That's depleting our resources provided by the Holy One, blessed be He, for today. He has provided for us for today, and we are expending those resources tripping on tomorrow or another time in the future. As it has been said, to worry is to pay interest on a loan you may never have. So we prevent ourselves from experiencing life, Chaim, today, as we worry about tomorrow. Today has enough for us to deal with, but we are trying to bring future concerns into today, which causes us to lose life today. Consider the daily allotment of manna. Hashem provides enough for one day, that one day, with the exception of Shabbat provisions, of course. But we have life to live today. Chaim, living in the present moment and living for the kingdom simultaneously. Chaim, lives. So today is all we can handle, for it is what Hashem has provided. Enough faith, provision, protection, clothing, shelter, love, compassion, strength for today. That's it. That's our manna. Hallelujah. And He provides above and beyond. So as we look at each day, we live in this present world, looking at each day that we live, I believe we see an additional application of the plural sense of life, Chaim, which is this. Each day we live is in itself a complete life. Stay with me here. When we awaken in the morning, it is as though we are being born again, if you will. And when we go to sleep, it is as if we die. We lay down, we sleep. In speaking with a local rabbi, he explained that a Jewish understanding is that each night when one goes to sleep, his or her spirit, neshama, returns to Adonai. And when that individual awakens, the neshama returns to its earthly dwelling place. So the concept of being a life and death daily, though the body and nephesh, that's the soul or the animal soul as it's sometimes referred to, they remain in that suspended state of sleep, the neshama returns to the source, Hashem, and then again, when the individual is to awaken, the neshama returns. And so it's like each day is a full life. So looking at it from this perspective, being born anew each day and lying down to death in the evening, I believe this reinforces the importance of our daily walk. And it also underscores Hashem's mercies being made new every day. And so as to our daily walk, continuously walking with the Father, striving to walk blamelessly before Him each day as we follow the Master Yeshua. This also highlights our prayer life, how we start and end each day, as well as filling the time in between. But in the morning, we begin with the intention of walking according to the way of Hashem. We give thanks for a brand new day, a brand new life. His mercies are made new every day. Hallelujah. Regardless of what we had and dealt with yesterday, His mercies are made new. And through repentance and atonement, we have this gift of a clean slate. And so we desire to walk according to the way of Hashem throughout the day, and we check our bearings at times throughout and adjust our course as needed to stay walking continuously with the Father. And in the evening, similar to an individual who knows his or her time is up, they are about to physically expire and they are going to leave this present world. In a similar manner, we come before the throne of grace to seek grace and mercy before dying. each evening, being transparent and vulnerable before the Most High El Elyon, praising Him for His faithfulness and provision throughout the day, and examining ourselves as to how we lived this day. Confessing our sins. Sins in our thoughts, our words, and our actions, those that are known and those that may be those that are unknown to us, confessing, seeking forgiveness for our trespasses, and forgiving those who have trespassed against us in their thoughts, words, or deeds, whether intentionally or not. Exercising the gift of repentance daily, as if today was our entire life and we are preparing for final judgment, as we may not wake up in this present world the following morning. There's no guarantee once we lie down. Each day, a life. And this is why Psalm 30 is read daily in some synagogues, and I personally have incorporated it into my morning prayers as well. I encourage you, please read Psalm 30 in its entirety and see the daily application for this Song of David, a dedication of the house. Some translations say a dedication of the temple, and there is application certainly to corporately speaking, to a facility, but also there is individual application, this dedication of the house, as we daily dedicate our house, the temple of the Most High, to Him. Chaim, lives, lives. Life is plural, while death is singular. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And we know that there are some who will experience a second death. However, the intent is for us all to only have one death, and plural, lives, lives, chaim. Now, there is an exception to the singular use of death. Interestingly enough, it's found in Isaiah 53, which is a messianic prophecy speaking of the death of Messiah, Yeshua. He was given a grave among the wicked, and in his death he was with a rich man. Although he had done no violence and had said nothing deceptive, yet it pleased Adonai to crush him with illness, to see if he would present himself as a guilt offering. If he does, he will see his offspring, and he will prolong his days, and at his hand Adonai's desire will be accomplished. It's Isaiah 53, 9 and 10. And so in verse 9, the word for grave has a plural definition, which means, so he was given graves among the wicked, and in his deaths he was with a rich man. I realize the way wording it that way sounds strange, but because the word grave has that plural definition, in this context and in this usage, death also would have or can have a plural meaning. And so what does that speak to? Plural. The plural deaths of Messiah? So again, not that he died more than once. It is the understanding that his death goes beyond our basic comprehension. From 2 Corinthians 5:14, for Messiah's love has hold of us because we are convinced that one man died on behalf of all mankind. It is written elsewhere that Yeshua died once for all. His death goes beyond the common understanding of a death. His death is deeper. It is outside of how we consider death. His death for all mankind, for all nations. It goes beyond the singular definition, far expanded beyond our comprehension of death. Hashem has done this incredible work through the Master Yeshua. So much, his life, his death, his mercy, so much, so far beyond our comprehension. I pray that we never get to a point where we think we have him all figured out, or we have everything all figured out in this life. There is so much more to him. There is so much more to his word. Hashem has done the work. He has presented the offering for our sin. He paid the price. He raised Messiah to Hayim, life, providing us with new Hayim. And he has provided for us the ability to live Hayim in Yeshua, endowing us with his spirit. Hallelujah. He has done it all. And we are without excuse. Let us live Hayim, the lives to which you have been called, we have been called in Messiah Yeshua. I hope that this has blessed you. Please study to show yourself approved of God. There is a lost and dying world at risk of living a singular life when Hayim has been provided through Yeshua. So let's go out and give him heaven. And until next time, may the favor that the righteous one, the Tzaddik, Yeshua HaMashiach, earned in the eyes of Hashem, may that favor be upon you and your entire household, and the peace that passes all understanding reign in your hearts and minds in the Messiah Yeshua. Grace and peace. Chen Shalom.